Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your help that you have sent into our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Father, for giving us strength to do the things our human strength cannot do. Thank you, Father. We thank you for enforcing your will to prevail in our situations, in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your peace and joy that is prevailing in our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Thank you for always answering our prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for subduing Satan under our feet, even the works of darkness. You have subdued under our feet. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful for your protection upon us. Thank you for preserving us from deadly attacks of the enemy. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all the miracles we have gotten from you, all the prosperity miracles, healing miracles, deliverance miracles. Thank you for doing your wonders in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Father, we are here this morning to pray and to learn from your word and to seek your face. O Lord, speak to us in Jesus' name. Open our eyes to see the things that you want us to see at this time. In Jesus' name. Visit every life that is here. Touch every life. And change every life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's praises. We're going to look at some verses in the scripture before we pray. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. Open your Bibles to Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I would have wanted us to read all the verses in this chapter, but because of time, because that might take time, so I will only read some few or some of the verses. I'll read just some of the verses. I believe you're already in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I read from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, Romans chapter 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Praise the Lord. I will still read other verses. But before I go into the other verses in this Romans chapter 6, I want to speak briefly on the ones we have read. Now, if you look at that verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I'm going to title my short exhortation as the let me put the title this way: the destruction of the body of sin, the destruction of the body of sin. Yeah, because in Romans chapter 6 verse 6 it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Yeah, so I pick my title from this verse, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yeah, and my title for this short teaching is the destruction of the body of sin. Yeah, the destruction of the body of sin. Now, if we look at the same verse in New Living Translation, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. That the body of sin might be destroyed. And here in New Living Translation it says, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Yeah, so that is the main, in fact, that is the main reason why Jesus came into the world, to die on the cross. It's the main purpose is so that sin can lose its power over us. Yeah, so when the Bible says in King James Version that the body of sin might be destroyed, it's talking about the power of sin that is at work in your body. Yeah, there's a power of sin that is working in your body, in our body. Yeah. And the purpose of the death of Jesus on the cross is to heal that power forever. Yeah, to destroy that power forever. That is the purpose of the death of Jesus on the cross, so that sin will have no power over you anymore. Yeah, that is the purpose of the death of Jesus. And in this chapter, in this Romans chapter 6, you're going to see how Paul the Apostle, or maybe we should read it. Yeah, let us read it. Let me read verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what Paul was saying here is that the moment Jesus died on the cross, we also died with him. Praise the Lord. And the day you came to Jesus, you entered into baptism, or maybe I should say you were baptized into his death. Yeah, these are spiritual realities. Yeah, this baptism is being represented physically through, you know, water baptism. Yeah, but the real baptism is spiritual, not physical, but the physical one is just a confirmation of what have already happened in the realm of the spirit. So the physical water baptism is just a symbol of what have already happened in the spiritual realm. So the moment you give your life to Jesus, you were baptized into his death, according to what we have read here. So you were baptized into his death. Yeah. So that you can also resurrect together with him. So all these things, they are spiritual realities. They have already happened in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, but they become alive in you the moment you come to Jesus, or they become activated. That reality becomes real in your life the moment you come to Jesus or give your life to him. So as many of us that have received him, we have been baptized into his death. And now, it didn't say we just connect with his resurrection. Yeah, that is not... you can't just connect with his resurrection power. You have to go through his death. Yeah. You cannot connect with the power of his resurrection and with the life, the new life in his resurrection, without going through his death. So the first thing that happens is baptism into his death. And after that one has been done, then you will now also connect with the new life in his resurrection. You know, just as he was resurrected on the third day, so also we resurrected with him. Yeah. And just as he ascended up into the third heaven and sat at the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Even so, we also went up with him, and we are sitting in him. Even right now, as I'm talking to you, we are sitting in him at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. So, these are spiritual realities, and these are the realities of grace. Whenever you hear the word grace, that word is all about these things I've just mentioned. Yeah, that is the package of grace. Is death, is resurrection, and then is ascension into dominion. Those are the package of grace. So that is all that grace is about. Yeah, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is all about his death, his resurrection, and then his dominion. That is, he ascended up far above every power and throne and kingdom. So he rose above all of them, because he's now sitting at the right hand of God in glory. So that is all that grace is about. Yeah. So now, in verse 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, we saw that it says, our old man has been, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And you already understand that our old man is crucified with him because we have been baptized into his death. And not only that, it went further to say why, or what happened, or what should happen now that our old man is crucified with him. What should follow that? What should follow is the destruction of the body of sin. That was why it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yeah, that is what should follow. After you have been baptized into Jesus Christ in his death, or you have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, the next thing that should happen is the destruction of the body of sin. Yeah, that is, your body of sin should be destroyed. Yeah, and I'm not going to make you understand that, is that the power of sin that is at work in your human nature, which includes your human body, must be destroyed. Yeah, that is what it means when it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. Yeah, because there is a body of sin, and there is a body of holiness. There is a body of sin, and there is a body of holiness. Yeah. And those two bodies, they are at work inside you as I'm talking right now. In you, you carry two bodies, the body of sin and the body of righteousness, or the body of holiness. Yeah, but most times we use the word nature for those bodies. Yeah, we use the word nature. We call it the nature of sin, and then the nature of righteousness or holiness. Yeah, so now the body of sin must be destroyed. And that is why Jesus actually came to die on the cross, so that the body of sin can be destroyed. Now, after the body of sin has been destroyed, what is going to follow? Let us read what is going to follow. It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Yeah, so after the body of sin has been destroyed, what happens next is that you will no longer serve sin. You will no longer be a slave to sin. Yeah, you will no longer be bound by sin. And that is after the body of sin is destroyed. And what is going to destroy the body of sin? Crucifixion with Christ. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So when you are crucified with him, your body of sin is going to die. And when your body of sin dies, when your body of sin, your nature of sin dies, then you shall no longer be a slave to sin. Now you can see the progression. Yeah. And God wants to take you through all of that process so that you can be free from sin. Now, if you read verse 7, Romans chapter 6, verse 7, it says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So when the sin that is making you to sin is dead, then you are free from sin. It's just like you can no longer accuse a dead man. Let's say someone dies now, and let's say the person has been living a sinful life. Maybe the person has been a drunkard, a womanizer, an adulterer, a fornicator. Yeah, the moment the person dies, you can no longer accuse that person of anything. At least from that moment, the person dies. Yeah, because there is no body to sin anymore. Yeah, the person can't sin anymore because the person is dead. So the same thing applies to this issue of the body of sin. Once the body of sin is dead, then you are free from sin. You are free from sin. So now, if I should ask you, is it possible for a man or a woman to be free from sin? What will your answer be? Are you going to say, man of God, nobody is perfect. There's no way a man will walk on the street and his head will not shake. Yeah, like some people used to say, yeah, that there's no way you will walk on the street and your head will not shake. So they will say nobody is perfect. We are human beings and we make mistakes. Yeah, we are human beings who make mistakes. Well, I am not that type of human being that the grace of Jesus cannot work on. Yeah, so when you call yourself human beings and you use that as an excuse for being a slave to sin, you are insulting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Whenever you are referring to yourself, or maybe how should I say, whenever you are using the concept of I am a human being, and you are using it as an excuse for your sinful lifestyle and for your mistakes, it means you are insulting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, because he died purposely to destroy the body of sin. Yeah, which is what makes us, you know, human. It is the human nature that makes you human. Yeah, and Jesus died to destroy that nature. And then you are still saying, I'm a human being. And you are using that to cover up your disobedience, your mistakes, your laziness, your covetousness, your lasciviousness, your lustfulness, your pride, yeah, your anger, and all of those things that you do. You're using the concept of, or you're using the human nature to cover up, well, you are only doing yourself more harm. Yeah, because when you get to the gate of heaven, and then the angel there, I mean the angel at the gate of heaven, began to point out all your mistakes and errors and sins. And then you tell the angel, and then you say, Mr. Angel, don't you know we are humans? Yeah, you know, you get to the gate of heaven, and then you are telling the angel there that you can't accuse me of all these things because, you know, we are human beings and we make mistakes. Nobody is going to listen to that in heaven. Yeah, the next thing you will hear is, get out from here. You don't belong here. So, my point is that if you don't allow the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to destroy the body of sin in your life, the nature of sin in your life, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's not going to work, or it's not going to happen. Yeah, no matter who you are, yeah, whether you know, you're operating in powerful spiritual gifts, or you have some big titles in the church, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, so that is why this thing we are talking about this morning is very serious. Yeah, because today we have a lot of believers, Christians, whose body of sin is still very much alive. Their old man is still very much alive. The body of sin is still very much alive in them. It's not yet dead. to feel alive. And because of that, they are slaves to sin, slaves to the flesh, which is another word for the body of sin. They are slaves to unrighteousness. I pray that you will not be a slave to sin in Jesus' name. Yeah, so don't ever open your mouth and say it is not possible for a man to be free from sin. Yeah, if you say that, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you are sinning against the grace of God. You are sinning against God, against Jesus, and against the Holy Spirit. Even if you think that or you believe that is a sin. Yeah, so the death of Jesus and his resurrection is to ensure that we are free from sin. And when we say free from sin, we mean free from sin. That is, you no longer sin. That is what it's saying here. I'm not the one who wrote this. This chapter of the Bible. Yeah, it says that henceforth we should not have sin. Yeah, and he said, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Yeah, so the issue is not with the grace of God. The issue is with human beings that don't want to stop sinning. So the issue is not about the grace. Maybe the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is weak and cannot actually deliver anyone from sin. That's not the issue. The issue is that human beings don't want to stop sinning. And that is why they are still slaves to sin. Yeah. So the question is, do you want to stop sinning? Do you want to stop serving sin? Do you want to stop being controlled by by the body of sin, by your sinful nature? Yeah. So anyone that is ready for such deliverance, there is a grace that does that deliverance. And that grace is in the death of Jesus and in his resurrection. So I pray that you will make up your mind to stop serving sin in Jesus' name. Yeah. We're going to read some other verses. Verse 12. To 14, Romans chapter 6. From verse 12 to 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, many times people misinterpret that verse 14. Yeah, they don't really understand what it means. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, what does that mean? Now, what it means is that after that grace, I've said earlier, I mean the grace I've described earlier, the grace that is in the death of Jesus and in his resurrection, after that grace I've worked in your life and I've destroyed your body of sin or your nature of sin, what will happen next is that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Yeah. Because you are now under grace. Yeah, because what is making you sin have been dealt with by grace. Yeah, which the people in the Old Testament, they couldn't have that grace. Yeah. You know, they had to follow a lot of laws and regulations. It's just like a bulldog or all these dogs that are wild, you know, that they have to tame them and they have to control them, because if they are being let loose, they can even kill. Yeah, so they have to chain them. So they are not free. Yeah, because there is something in them that is pushing them. Or maybe let's take a wild animal for instance. Every wild animal, the first thing they think about is how to attack and kill. Yeah, because there is this wild nature in them that keeps pushing them. So in the Old Testament, the sinful nature was not dealt with. It was just being controlled from the outside through rules and regulations. Yeah. So they were being controlled from the outside. Don't do this. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do this with your body. Don't do this to your body. Yeah. Because there's a nature in them that keeps pushing them to sin and to do all sorts of unrighteousness. So those rules and regulations were like chains. Yeah, just the way you chain a wild dog. So those laws were like chains, tying them, controlling them. Yeah. So, but the difference between that dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace is that now under grace, what is making us to sin is dead. Yeah, or is going to die. Yeah, that is if you allow God to destroy that nature. Yeah. That is why the Bible used the word might. It said that the body of sin might be destroyed. So because you can decide that you don't want it to be destroyed, God is not going to force his will on you. You can choose that you don't want your sinful nature to be destroyed and it will continue to be alive. yeah, that is why the word might was used to describe that process. Yeah. So in the New Testament, what happens is that thing that is in us, the human nature, which is also the Adamic nature, because every human came from Adam, which is also the sinful nature. Yeah, so in English, they would say, let us call a spade. So the human nature is also the Adamic nature, which is also the sinful nature. Yeah. So every time you are hiding under the human nature, you are going to sin. In fact, you have already sinned by doing that. Yeah. Because the human nature can never be righteous in the sight of God. If it can, then there's no need for Jesus to come and die on the cross of Calvary. If the human nature can be acceptable in the sight of God and be approved by God and be considered righteous in the sight of God, then there's no need for Jesus to come and die for us. Yeah, but because the human nature can never be righteous on its own or by itself and can never be holy and can never be acceptable, that is why Jesus came to kill that nature. So the human nature is also the sinful nature. So don't let anyone deceive you. The human nature is also the sinful nature, because everything it does is sinful. Even if it looks good, yeah, even when the human nature does something that looks good, it's still sinful to God. That was why the Bible says all our righteousness, in Isaiah, the Bible says all our righteousness are like filthy rags, like dirty rags. So every righteousness that you do by your human nature, or maybe I should use the word, any good thing you do by your human nature, even though it looks good, before God, is filthy rags. It's not acceptable. Yeah, it's not acceptable. Yeah, it is the only thing that is acceptable is what you do by your divine nature in Christ Jesus. That is the only thing that is acceptable. That is the only righteousness that is acceptable. Yeah. So if you are promoting the human nature, like when people are doing, they say I believe in humanity. I celebrate the fact that we are human beings. Well, if you are doing that, it means you are not a Christian. Yeah, if you are promoting the human nature, it means you are not a Christian. Because the human nature can never be gone. Yeah, that's just, by the way, yeah, so, the meaning of you being under grace and not under the law is what I have explained just now. Yeah. So if you realize that in your life you are still being bound, or you are still being controlled by a particular sin or some sin, You need to really cry out to God that he would destroy the body of sin in your life. Yeah, maybe you notice that you are still given to pride, that you are still bound by pride, or you are still bound by anger, hatred, bitterness. What you should do is to go to the Lord in prayer, even in fasting, and ask him to destroy the body of sin that is producing that anger or lust or pride or envy or greed. Yeah, because if you don't ask God to destroy that nature is going to destroy you eventually. That nature will send you to hell eventually. Yeah, so the body of sin must be destroyed. I pray that you will hand over your body of sin to Jesus to destroy it. Yeah, I pray that you will be crucified with him. Yeah, like a pastor said some time ago, he said some Christians, they are not completely dead. That their old man is not completely dead. That they are half dead. Yeah. That the open one high. That the open one high and close one high. Yeah. That they are half dead. They are not completely dead. And that is why so-called Christians today, they still love the things of the world. They still love the ways of the world. They still love the standards of this world, the systems of this world. Yeah, and they still follow the ways of this world. Yeah, I pray you will repent in Jesus' name. Yeah, now, some of you might be thinking that Pastor, you said the human nature is not acceptable before God at all. It's the sinful nature. Yeah. Does that mean we are no longer, every Christian is not human again? Does that mean we are not human anymore? And if that is so, why do we still look human? Why do we still have human feelings, human emotions? Yeah. I, as a person, I will not call a Christian an ordinary human. Yeah. I will use the word extraordinary human. Yeah, so if we are human, maybe because we look human and we still have flesh and blood and we still get weak, tired, and we still have human feelings and emotions flowing in our body, if we can take the name human because of that, then I would say that we are extraordinary humans, not ordinary humans, not normal humans. Yeah, or I can use the word supernatural humans, not normal humans, not ordinary humans, not natural humans. Yeah. That so if you are to refer to yourself as a human, then you have to add something to it. Either you had extraordinary or you had supernatural, because if you see yourself as a normal human being, then you are acting against the Bible. Yeah, because that is not how the Bible, that is not what the Bible says you are. Yeah, if you are seeing yourself as, you know, just, how should I say the English? If you are seeing yourself as like every normal human being out there, then you are not a Christian. Yeah, then you have not experienced the God of the Bible. You have not known the Jesus of the Bible. Yeah, and then it means you are acting against the Bible. Yeah, the Bible, because the Bible doesn't portray you as a normal human. Yeah, and you're not expected to do and to think as normal humans think and those things. I pray that you will wake up and be enlightened in Jesus' name. Yeah, so we are still being exposed to temptations that are common to human beings. We are still being exposed to emotions and feelings that are common to human beings. Yeah, but the way we deal with those things must not, the way we respond or react to those temptations and issues of life must not be the way normal human beings do. If you still react like normal human beings, you are not yet a Christian. You should go back to Calvary. You should go back to the cross and get born again. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Now, why are we really talking about this topic in Healing Stream program? Now, let us look at some other verses. I'm going to read, I'm supposed to read all the verses in Romans chapter 6, but because we don't have the time, that is why I'm picking few verses. Now, let me read from verse 20 to 23. Romans chapter 6, from verse 20 to 23. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now, do you see that? That the end of those things that we did. When our old man was still alive. Number one is that those things were sinful. All those things we did when our old man, or all those things maybe you are still doing right now, because your old man is still alive. Maybe you still open one eye. Yeah. You are half dead. Your old man is not fully dead. Yeah. All of those things, the Bible says, the end of all of those things is death and shame. Yeah, sin will always put you to shame and disgrace. Let me continue. Verse 22. But now, being free from sin and become servant to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Yeah. So if you are living this newness of life, that will happen when your old man is dead, when the body of sin is dead, the end of that life, that newness of life, the end of a life controlled by the Holy Spirit or by the nature of Christ, the end of such life is everlasting life. Yeah, and then let me read the last verse, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So do you know that the greatest deliverance that can ever happen to you is for your body of sin to be destroyed? Do you know that? Yeah. And that is why many times in our prayer sessions, in our midnight prayer sessions, we pray a lot of prayers focusing on this thing. Yeah, because I've seen the reality of deliverance. I have seen what deliverance really is. Yeah. And I have seen what must happen in every man before such a man can really be free from the powers of darkness. And maybe you can say powers of witchcraft. Yeah. So what must really happen to you or in you first before you can say that you are delivered from the power of Satan, from the powers of darkness and demons and witches and wizards? Is this thing we are talking about right now, the destruction of the body of sin. So if this one have not happened to you, and if you are careless about this one, then stop wasting your time. In fact, stop wasting your fasting. Yeah, because they will not work. If they work now, it's just temporary. The demons will come back. The witchcraft attacks will come back. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, so the Bible says that the end of all these things is death, which includes sicknesses and diseases. Yeah, you want to be healed? Then focus on this destruction of the body of sin. And you'll be surprised that you will not even know when your healing will happen. I mean, even without you praying for healing, but you just focusing on the destruction of the body of sin, you will see your healing happen eventually. Yeah, because what is giving sicknesses and diseases strength to stay in your life is the body of sin, which is also the body of death. Yeah, remember that in Romans chapter 8, it's saying that to be carnally minded is death. Yeah, so this body always leads to death because it dies. Yeah, because the body of sin. So for life to reign in your body and for healing to flow in your body, it must it must be delivered from the nature of sin, or the nature of sin in your body must die for the power of God to flow through it, for life to flow through it, for healing and health to flow through it. The nature of sin must die, and the death of the nature of sin is going to happen by divine intervention. This is not just by your, it's not just going to happen by your willpower or by strong determination. Of course, that your strong determination should lead you into prayer. Yeah. This can only happen by faith in the death of Jesus and in the resurrection of Jesus. It's a deliverance on its own. Yeah, what we have been talking about is a deliverance. It's something that when it has happened to you, you will know that it has happened to you. Yeah. So it's not something that you just, it's not something that can happen through discipline. Of course, we have to discipline ourselves. Yeah, but it will not happen through that alone. Yeah. If you are going to discipline yourself, you have to also pray until God deliver you, because just your determination or discipline cannot destroy the nature of sin. There must be deliverance from above. Yeah, Jesus must do it in you. Yeah, and it's just by faith. Yeah, after you have done your own part, yeah, after you have separated yourself from sin, at least the sin that you know, the things that you know is a sin, after you have done your own part, separated from sin, and separated, you have separated from things that causes sin or things that leads you to sin, yeah, you still need the power of God to do a deliverance on you that will kill this old man completely. Yeah. So, and you have to pray until it is done, until you have experienced the deliverance. Yeah, because if you read a Roman, if you read the next chapter that follows this one, Romans chapter 7, you're going to see Paul the Apostle talking about the struggle that he went through concerning this old man, concerning the issue of this old man or body of sin. You're going to see the struggle that he went through. He said, "The things that I don't want to do, I found myself doing them. And the things that I want to do, I found myself not doing them." Yeah. So even he himself went through that struggle, but he had to pray until God, until Jesus delivered him. Yeah. So, you know, to tell you that it's not just by willpower alone or by some strong determination or by discipline. It's not just only that. Yeah. You have to allow the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to work in your life. You have to surrender through prayer, and fasting and say, God, deliver me. I want to please you. Yeah, there are people who went into dry fasting just because they want God to deliver them from pride. They went into dry fasting. Why? Because they understand this issue of the body of sin. They know how much it can destroy their soul and send them to hell. And they want to live. They don't want to die. Yeah. They want to live. They want to have everlasting life. Have you ever gone into serious prayer and fasting? Because you want the old man in you to completely die? Have you ever done that? Yeah. Have you ever taken it so serious? If you have not, it means you are playing with your salvation. You are joking with your life. You are joking with your eternity. Yeah. That's what it means. Yeah, people, you know, men, they will go into serious prayers with tears. Yeah, serious prayers with tears. Saying, God, I want this attitude to end in my life. Yeah, and I want the nature that is putting me under the control of this sinful attitude to die. And they prayed so hard. And they got the deliverance. Have you ever done anything like that? Yeah. May the Lord help you. So we are going to pray. And after that, I will be praying for you and on your water. I want you to talk to the Lord. The essence of salvation is this thing I have just talked about. And that is why this book of Romans is one of the most important books in the Bible about the Christian faith. About salvation. Yeah, because everything I've talked about today is what Christianity is all about. Forget about, you know, all the excitement that spiritual gifts brings, or the excitement of miracles. I mean, all the excitement that comes with miracles, spiritual gifts, demonstrations. Forget about all of that. The real essence of Christianity is what you have heard from my mouth just now. And if these things, these realities that we have talked about, if is not happening in your life as we speak, you are in trouble. Yeah. But there's a way out if you can repent fast and allow God to deliver you. Yeah, so we are going to pray. You're going to say, Father, have mercy on me and destroy the body of sin in me. The nature of sin, the roots of sin in me. See, Father, have mercy on me. open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Pray like that. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. This is not a joke. This is a serious issue. I pray you will know how serious this is before it's too late. Talk to him. Ask him to deliver you. The things you call little things, they are not little. In fact, you are still committing those things because the body of sin is still alive in you. There is no little sin. There is no little sin. Say, Father, have mercy on me and deliver me. Destroy the body of sin in me. Destroy the nature of sin in me so that I can please you, so that I can live. Say, Father, I want to live. I don't want to die. Yeah, do you think death is all about when you stop breathing? But that is not death. You want to know the real death? Yeah, don't take a visit to hell. Then you're going to see people that are dead. Yeah, dead. The real death is in hell and lake of fire. Yeah, that is the real death. Yeah, stopping breathing is not the real death. It's just like you move from one realm to another place. Say, Father, deliver me from the power of sin. Deliver me from the power of sin. Destroy the body of sin in me, the nature of sin in me, so that I can be free from sin. So that I will no longer be a slave to sin. Lord, destroy this nature. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, you know, just as a healing miracle, I mean physical healing, just as it is real, yeah, even so is this thing we're talking about. Yeah, just like someone that has cancer and got healed through the power of God, we go to the hospital and they will check and they will say, you don't have cancer anymore. The evil soul is the matter of the destruction of the body of sin, the destruction of the sinful nature. So when it is destroyed, you will also know. Yeah, because that force in you that keep pushing you to sin will be completely gone. Yeah, what is making you to tell lies will be completely gone. You will just not be able to tell lies. You will just not be able to lust. Yeah, so this thing is real. It's real. But I don't know why people are not pursuing after it. Yeah, this kind of deliverance is real. And those that have it, they know they have it. So you are going to pray that prayer again. You're going to say, Father, I surrender to the work of your grace. Let your grace work on me and change me into a new creature that cannot sin. See, Father, I surrender to the work of your grace. Let your grace work on me. Oh, open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. See, Father, I surrender to the work of your grace. I surrender to the work of your grace. Let the grace in the death of Jesus work on me. Let the grace in the resurrection of Jesus work on me and change me into a new creature that cannot sin. I surrender now. I surrender now. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're praying. I surrender to the work of your grace, Lord Jesus. Transform me into a new creature through your grace. Through the power of your grace, so that I will no longer serve sin. In the name of Jesus, transform me, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Now, the last prayer point we read, where it says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Now, that means that you shall have dominion over sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Do you know the Christians that witches fear? Do you know the type of Christians that witches and wizards are afraid of? You don't know. I will tell you. Those type of Christians are the Christians that have dominion over sin. Yeah. Those are the type of Christians that witches and wizards and agents of darkness, including demons and principalities and Satan himself, are afraid of. Yeah. Yeah, because they must find sin in you to be able to attack you successfully. They must find sin in you. If they can't find sin in you, they know themselves that they cannot win. They know. Yeah. Yeah. And do you know that even fear is sin? Yeah. But that's not the focus of our topic. So you are going to pray. You're going to say, Father, take me into the realm of dominion in Christ Jesus, where I have complete dominion over sin and the sinful nature. Say, Father, take me into the realm of dominion in Christ Jesus, where I have complete dominion over sin and the sinful nature. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. And do you know that dominion over sin is also the same as dominion over sickness and diseases? And it's also the same with dominion over Satan and demons. They are all the same. Say, Father, take me into the realm of dominion in Jesus, where I have complete dominion over sin and the nature of sin. In the name of Jesus, take me into that realm right now. I believe you're praying. Temptations will come, but when you are in dominion, you will not fall into the temptation. Continue to pray. Provocation will come, seduction will come, but when you are in dominion, you will not fall. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. Raise up your right hand as I pray. King of kings and Lord of lords, Ancient of days, we bless your name. We praise you, mighty God, mighty Savior, mighty Deliverer. Of a truth, you are the only real Savior. No other God can save, because no other God has ever saved anyone from sin and from the sinful nature. No other God has ever done that. Only you is the true Savior. We praise you, Father. Be glorified forever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the things you have exposed to us from your scripture this morning. Thank you for showing us what eternity really is, and what salvation and redemption really is. I ask, O Lord, that you show mercy on everyone here, and that you make all these things a reality in their lives. All these things that we have discussed from your word, oh Lord, make it a reality in the lives of everyone right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you shall experience the power of God that frees a man from sin and from the sinful nature. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that every little sin that you are still committing and that is stopping the manifestation of God's plans for your life, I pray that the hand of God put an end to such little things. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I pray on your water that the power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the life-giving power, the healing-giving power, the health-giving power, the deliverance-giving power, in the resurrection of Jesus shall possess your water right now. In the name of Jesus, let all the power in the death and resurrection of Jesus enter into this water right now. In Jesus' name. And as you use this water, you can experience instant deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. And not only that, generational curses and generational covenant of darkness shall also be broken and destroyed through the application and use of this water in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.